All right, let's look some more at the spiritual war that Ephesians 6 describes in the armor of God. Let me read to you again a little bit out of this. I hope you've memorized it or are at least working on memorizing it. Okay, but it says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes of your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." So what I read in there regarding the enemy, think about the things that it says about what our battle is against. It's already said that it's not flesh and blood, right? And I think we looked at a couple days ago in Corinthians 10, where it says we do not wage war the way the world does. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds, right? Divine power. We have spiritual weapons. But look at what it says about this war. It gives me the impression that our war is not just on one front, okay? The enemies that it describes are in heavenly places. It says they are over this present darkness. They are against their spiritual forces of evil. They are rulers. They are authorities. They shoot flaming darts from the evil one. It looks to me like this war is not just on one front. My tendency when I think of a spiritual war, I don't know about you, my tendency is to think about sin. And I generally think about my personal sin and how I am tempted by one sin or another. And I have to always be alert that I'm going to be tempted into that sin, whatever it may be. Impatience being a common issue for me. But whatever else, you know, at other times in my life, it would have been pornography or something. Like there's always attacks of sin. And when I think of a spiritual war, that's the main thing I think of. I think about my temptations towards sin, or my inclinations towards sin, or whatever. That's the first place I think of. I also generally think of evangelism and advancing the gospel and how that is a spiritual war. That is advancing God's kingdom into the world. It's advancing the war front, or whatever you want to call it. I think of it that way. But when I read Ephesians 6, it gives me the very strong impression that this war is more than just one category, more than just two categories. It's all dimensions. It's over your head. It's above you. It's below you. It's around you. It's tempting you to sin. It's tempting you to sit back down. It's tempting you to step backwards. It's tempting you to step forward in the wrong direction. It's tempting you to do all kinds of stuff. And it's not just going to come at you. Satan isn't just going to come at you with a pitchfork and like horns coming out of his head, whispering in your ear, "Do something evil." Right? That's the impression. I don't know where it comes from. Whatever. He's not just going to come at you from one angle. That's not how it works. He deceived Eve, right? He deceived her with lies. He didn't deceive her with something ugly and scary and "you should go kill Adam." You know, he didn't say that. He said, "Hey, look at that really, really, really good looking fruit. You should eat it. God's not going to punish you for that. He's actually withholding something from you." He deceived her into doing something that looked really good and attractive, right? So he says he's the most subtle of all the creatures. Subtle, crafty, shrewd, whatever you want to call it. When you step back, you're not standing firm, right? When you step in the wrong direction, you're not standing firm. When you sit back, take a knee, and take a minute to catch your breath and relax, you're not standing firm. Satan will take any of those things. He'll be happy if, you know what, you just take a break. He hasn't managed to convince you to sin or to say you don't trust Jesus anymore or something. Just to take a break from advancing God's kingdom, he'll be thrilled. Okay, great. This guy's out of the war. He's not fighting anymore. This girl's stepped off. She's not standing up anymore. He's thrilled. If you step off in the wrong direction and start battling flesh and blood, or start fighting in this direction and ignoring the fact that this war is on many fronts, and you're just looking in one direction while he is circling around you like a snake, just completely encompassing you. You're surrounded. You're slowly being constricted, and all you're looking at is one particular part, right? Satan's thrilled with that kind of stuff. The war that we fight is multidimensional. The war that we fight comes at you from a lot of directions. It is both deceptive. It's also a direct onslaught. There's fiery arrows being shot at you. You'll probably notice those. Other ones you might not notice at all until they are tightening around you, and you're like, how in the world did I get here? I didn't even know I was under attack. I was looking at the fiery arrows coming at me from one angle. I didn't even notice the snake slowly circling me. Or whatever. You know, you follow the analogy, though. The spiritual war in which we fight is all over the place. It covers so much. Think of the way the church, when I say the church, I mean all the believers, have handled the COVID situation of this past year. Don't think, oh, well, our church did it right and those ones did it bad. No, think about the big picture beyond just your particular church. How did we handle it? I don't think any of us saw it at first as an attack on churches to shut down churches. Maybe some people did at first. Some people are always looking for that. And there's still a debate, a widespread debate, but there is a debate now over whether the COVID shutdowns were an attack on churches or whether they were just a common sense way of slowing down the virus. But even the fact that you're fighting over that is proof that we are in a spiritual war. Because on one hand, it's like, of course we're going to do our best to stop spreading a bad virus. Of course, any church, anybody in the world would want to stop that, right? But that's the flesh and blood mindset. And of course, there's also a mindset that's going to say, oh, of course the government would want to shut down the church. The government doesn't like the church. They see us as competition and whatever. And so we're going to interpret it that way. But then it becomes a political issue. And again, that's flesh and blood. And so the church across the board, generally speaking, fell into the trap of seeing the COVID pandemic as a flesh and blood issue. Is it flesh and blood that we're at war against the virus? Is it flesh and blood that the government is trying to shut us down? Either way, it became a flesh and blood issue. Meanwhile, there's people dying and going to hell, and the church is fighting about how to handle COVID and how to handle the government. I don't know that there is a perfect way to handle this situation or what. I don't know if our church should have done, looking back, I'm like, well, I can certainly say we handled a lot of these things pretty happy with the way we handled it. I think we did keep preaching the gospel, and we did keep that center, and we served the community, and we made sure that the community had access to the gospel in our church, and we never really closed, and we made it available to the people to, without having to come inside. And we did these things. We did our best. And honestly, every church I know of has tried to do their best. Some have done it in ways that alienated more people. Others have done it in ways that alienated different people. I don't know. But was our mindset on the spiritual nature of this, or was our mindset on the political nature of it, or the medical nature of it, or both? Because if so, then even if we handled things pretty well or pretty poorly, we ultimately handled them poorly because we were fighting flesh and blood, and it's a spiritual fight. But Satan's going to use it all. He's going to come at us from all kinds of angles. I always thought that the spiritual war would be some soldier coming up to me with a gun saying, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And then me having to say yes, and him shooting me. Or something. Like, that's what martyrdom is to me. I've never been anywhere near martyrdom, so what do I know? But that's how it always looked. And now we have this other whole different direction coming at us. It's a pandemic. Who would have thought that would be a way to, you know, throw a church off of its game? I wouldn't have thought of that. I wasn't thinking that way. I was asleep. And yet, there it is. Who would have thought that these kinds of things would get in the way? Who would have thought that racial problems in this country would divide the church to the point where there's churches that have gone full bore woke and other churches that have gone full bore like whatever anti-woke is, I don't know, and that's all the message is anymore. Well, clearly we're in a spiritual war, and we're fighting it in flesh and blood ways, and those tactics don't work in a spiritual war. Let's make the gospel central. Let's make the gospel the only thing. And we'll preach the gospel in a pandemic, and we'll preach the gospel in the middle of a race war, and we'll preach the gospel in the middle of a political war, and we'll preach the gospel in the middle of whatever, because we are in the middle of a spiritual war, and the gospel is the only weapon that wins. All right, and we're going to arm ourselves with God's word, and we're going to wear the belt of truth so that we don't compromise on what is true. And we're going to wear the breastplate of righteousness so that anything coming at us bounces right off because we're in righteousness and we're not wallowing down in the same garbage fights that this rest of the world loves to fight in, right? We're going to have the helmet of salvation secure. When people look at us, they're going to see salvation because you look at someone's face first, you look at their head first, and it's going to look like salvation coming, marching. The gospel of peace, readiness to preach the gospel of peace. Readiness. So everywhere our feet go, we're ready. Okay. Let's fight the spiritual war on a spiritual front. Let's wear spiritual armor. Let's use spiritual weapons. Let's not show up to a spiritual sword fight with physical sword like Peter did. Let's do this right. Okay. Let's do this the right way. Glory to God. Stay alert. Persevere. If you're in a war, you'd be aware that you were in a war. I've said that a few times. You'd be aware. You would never forget that you were in the middle of a war. If you were literally under attack from flaming arrows, from above, from behind, from the side, from everywhere, you would never forget it. You would not just suddenly be like, oh, I forgot I was in the middle of a war being shot at. Your heart would be pounding. You'd have urgency in this. You would perceive everything in a spiritual direction instead of a physical flesh and blood direction. The political issues of our day, you would see the spiritual issues behind them. The racial issues of our day, you would see the spiritual issues behind them. The medical issues of our day, you would see the spiritual issues behind them. And you would address those and you would fight those instead of fighting the flesh and blood that gets in our way. All right. I hope that makes some sense to you. Glory to God. We'll continue this. We are obviously very close to the end of Ephesians, but there's a lot in here. So next couple days, we'll be wrapping it up. Glory to God. I'll see you then.